good and bad children. Genesis 4, verse 1. And the man knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall it not be lifted up? And if thou doest not well, sin coucheth at the door, and unto thee shall be its desire. But do thou rule over it. And Cain told Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now cursed art thou from the ground, which hath opened its mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee its strength. A fugitive and a wanderer shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth. And it will come to pass that whosoever findeth me will slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain, lest any finding him should smite him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And Enoch also had offspring. And look at verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth, for, she said, God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, for Cain slew him. And since there are just three brief passages in the New Testament about him, let's read in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness in respect of his gifts, and through it he being dead yet speaketh. And now, 1 John chapter 3. Verse 11, For this is the message which you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. And in Jude 11, woe unto them, for they went in the way of Cain. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, it is a remarkable thing that you have preserved for us the history of antiquitous man. Our God, we marvel at this. Thou dost know how scientists are seeking to find out about the beginning of life. Your Son spoke about the beginning of creation. God created the male and female. This is enough for us, our God. We thank you that thou hast told us how in the beginning you created the heaven and the earth, and how out of the dust you formed man. And you have told us to how sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And you have told us how the human race came from these two, Eve, the mother of all living. We thank you, our God. We thank you that you tell us the truth concerning antiquity. We pray, our God, that from the very first lesson, we shall take that lesson to heart and be warned by it and not be taken by surprise. Your Son has said, I have told you beforehand that when it comes to pass. We thank you, our God, for all the things that you tell us beforehand, so that when they come to pass, we shall not be taken by surprise. So, when things occur, let it not seem strange unto us, our God, but let us realize that it is the fulfillment of thy word. So, our Lord, we would consider children good and bad. By thy Spirit, illumine us, and empower, and give us a profitable, enjoyable time. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There was a question on the front of a tract that was very good. It said this, do good people go to heaven? And the answer was, they certainly would go to heaven if there were any good people. And then it proceeded. So if you ask me, is there such a thing as a good child and a bad child? I ask, what do you mean? Inherently? There is no such thing inherently as a good child and a bad child. They are all bad. When the Savior was approached, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? The Savior, I can't go into details, but here is one calling the Lord Jesus, the only one who actually was good. He said, why do you call me good? There is no one good except one, God. Do you believe that? If that is so, and the Lord Jesus is the only one other than God who was good, then if we speak of good and bad children before they manifest any evidence of what is in them, there is no such thing as a good and a bad child. They are all bad. You discover later in life, even in the best of them, how bad they are. If you want this lesson rehearsed and impressed upon your heart, you may read what Paul discovers concerning himself, not before he becomes a Christian. Then he understands a little bit about himself, but after he becomes a Christian. He says, sin dwelleth in me. He says, twice, sin dwelleth in me. I find in the law that to me who would do good, evil is present. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. And this life would put all of us to shame. And so if you ask Paul, are you good? He would say, not inherently. He said, however, by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not found vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So what we're going to consider now is good and bad in the sense of what children grew up to be and the life that they lived in spite of their being inherently bad. Again, shall I tell you twice in the psalm? David, the man after God's heart, said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No, not one. So God himself does not attempt. He makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus, not made over old ones. And even after we become children of God, Paul said this, the fourfold reference I told you in Romans 7. He said, I am sold under sin. And so here he is in bondage, evil in him, a law inside him. When he wanted to do good, evil was present. And yet, I thank God for this. The Bible, relatively speaking, about the lives that we live, it says that some are good. It says concerning Barnabas, I'll only give you that example. It said, Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. That's lovely. So among Christians, there are good ones and there are carnal Christians. And so among men, there are good men and there are bad men in the sense that I have explained to you. So when these two children came from the womb, they both came the identical way, sinners, inheriting the nature of sin, both possessing sin, but then as they grew up, it is what they did with the grace of God bestowed upon them, even though there is sin within them. And when they grew up, you would never have known it, but Cain was evil, and Abel was good. So, at the same time, from the same parents, come two children, and they grow up to be one good and one bad. And it says in Hebrews 11 that Abel was righteous, but our Savior also in Matthew 23 calls him Abel the righteous. And this is what is terrifying, that Cain was possessed of Satan. He was of the evil one. Now, who would have ever known that? And this is what is frightening, that Eve, who had received the promise from God that the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, she believed that she was holding in her arms that child that would bruise the head of the serpent. But instead, she was holding in her arms that child who, under satanic influence, would destroy a child of righteous. And so that is why we do not know. And that is why I told you all last week about how God must deal with children. So, if this is true, let me ask you, if Cain had died before he grew up and had this encounter with his brother Abel, would he have gone to heaven? If you say so, I'm going to leave the conclusion to you. So just think of what I told you last week. You have children, good and bad, but in them there are the seeds of evil, and if there is good, it is the grace of God that overcomes the evil that is within and empowers them to do good. This is what God wants us to understand. It is like the assembly at Corinth, and who would ever have known that there was so much evil in that assembly? But Paul said, there must be schisms, there must be ruptures among you, that he that is on God's side, he that's in the right, might be made manifest. You've discovered this here. I've discovered it in other assemblies. You go along for years with those you think are grounded in the truth, and suddenly there is a schism, and what you discover? You say, why, those with whom we fellowshiped so long, they were not what I thought they were. They were the same all along. It was just the waiting for an occasion to manifest what they were. Now, many times, they are true children of God. Remember that. But it says in the first epistle of John, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they all are not of us. Now, they are lost ones, but at the same time, there are other ruptures among true children of God. Two men of the stature of Paul and Barnabas. And you remember, they had a sharp contention, and they divided. But all of these things occur, but we do not know that the potential was in Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas was a good man, and Paul labored more abundantly than they all. How can this be? Because the potential is there, but it takes a crisis. It takes some event, like the ones I've described, to manifest what is actually in the hearts of men. And that is what is so sad. And that is why I take to heart that scripture in 1 Corinthians 12. He that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. And right after it comes the verse that we glory in so much, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. That's the one we like to quote. But before that it says, he that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. So we had better remember them all. If we think we are standing, then you read the verse before. But if you think you're going to fall, then I'll quote 1 Corinthians 12:10-13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful. And that's what the Lord does. For those that are ready to stumble, he gives encouragement. And for those that are proud, he warns them. He tells them. And I may bring this to mind for your edification as to what men are going to do. It has already been taken care of before they do it, that they are God's children. Do you remember in Luke 22 when Peter was going to sin? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, when you've turned around, strengthen thy brethren. Notice, he knew what was going to happen, he knew what he was going to do, and before he had done it, the Lord Jesus said, I have prayed for you. Keep those things in mind. So here we have two that are born. Both of them, by nature, bad, evil, and the Lord Jesus says that. You realize that he says, even concerning his own, that you're evil? He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Now, how terrible, if he calls his own, you then, being evil, the Lord Jesus only knows those things. But thank God, in spite of that, we have one who, with the grace of God upon him, who can labor, can live a life of acceptance to God, like the Apostle Paul. So if you ask me, our parents sinned, yes, but I do not believe that death was a result of that sin. Why? You could have looked at the first parents for hundreds of years, and people could have said, you see, God said that they were going to die. They haven't died. And concerning Methuselah, 969 years, but who never died? You say they all died. The only two who have ever escaped it were Enoch and Elijah. They were special objects of God's favor. But all others, as God said, it is appointed unto men once to die, two escaped it, and I hope that all of us escape it. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I thank God for that. So we who are under the sentence of death, even though we're redeemed, if Christ comes before that sentence is executed, then, thank God, as Enoch escaped it, so I shall escape it. And as Enoch was translated, so we shall be translated. So I hope that I am after the order of Enoch or Elijah. But alas, most of us fall into the category of those who die. But if we have to die, had you not rather die as Abel than Absalom? You say, Abel? Yes, Abel was a martyr for the glory of God. He died for his integrity, his righteous, his good deeds. And wherefore slew he him? Because his deeds were righteous and his brothers evil. So here is righteous Abel, and he was the first martyr. And understand this, that the first death was not a natural death. It was an unnatural death. Long before the extent of his life should have expired, he was martyred and to the glory of God. And the one who did it was Cain. And so if you ask me, you say death passed on all men? Yes, before the first man died, over 900 years transpired. Think of that. Over 900 years, but finally they died. And so, well, you say that all men, death passed upon all men, and you say that all men sin in Adam. They're all accounted not only sinners, but guilty as well. Yes, I say that sin was transferred. Well, how many generations passed before this sin in man manifested itself? One, the first child ever born. I would have thought perhaps maybe 100 generations, perhaps sin would have manifested itself. But you will find that in his heart was this virulent sin, and it manifested itself in a way that was unthinkable. Understand, this is the first child ever born. And the fact that sin is in this child, the mother holding the child, thinking that this child would bruise the head of the serpent. Instead, the serpent had overpowered him and his soul, the same as he beguiled Eve. But in this instance, we would not have known it unless God had told us in the New Testament. Wherefore slew he him? Because he was of the evil one. Did you know that? It would have been difficult to look at Lot and see that he was a righteous man. God tells us for certain in the New Testament. And who would have known that what Cain did was satanically motivated? But God tells us in the New Testament. And the Savior comments on it, though he does not mention him by name. Speaking of Satan, he was a murderer. He was a liar from the beginning. Lied to our first parents. And he was a murderer through Cain, in the first human being that was ever born of man and woman. And so it shows you how quickly sin that was passed on manifested itself. It lay latent in his bosom until an occasion arose like that in the church at Corinth, like that when there was a discussion, a heated discussion over what should be done with John Mark. All of these things are latent in the heart, but they are there. And then a crisis arises, and you discover one is right and one is wrong. Here we have the same thing in the case of Cain. Who would have known that the potential lay in this child when he was a worshiper of God? Let me ask you, did Cain believe in God as well as Abel? You say, why? Of course he did. Did Cain seek to worship God as well as Abel? Why? Of course he did. Did Cain give God something as well as Abel? Of course he did. But was Cain's heart right when he gave to God as Abel's was? And the answer is no. That is the difference. It said that God, when the offerings were given, he accepted Abel and his offering. But he did not accept Cain and his offering. Here are people worshiping God. But God says, I must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And he says in Matthew 15, quoting from Isaiah, in vain do these people worship me. But they're worshiping God. But God says, in vain do these people worship me. But when you see people worshiping God, only God knows the heart of man. And in the case of the Gentiles, the household of Cornelius, when Peter went and preached to them, his brethren were ready to accuse him. But Peter said, God, who knows the hearts, he gave them the Holy Spirit, the same as we, and he cleansed their hearts as well as we by faith. God who knows the hearts. So here are those that are doing what is right, and God looks upon it, and he knows their hearts, and he gives them the Spirit. And there are others who look upon what Peter is doing, and they say, it is wrong, and therefore we do not know the potential. God does. And so God finally exposes in the New Testament that Cain was perverted and corrupt and satanically controlled even while he was worshiping God. Let me ask you, who said this? Is it I, Lord? You say, the disciples said it. Yes, the apostles. And did Judas say it? You say, yes, he did. Where? When they were all sitting around the Lord's table where this feast was instituted. He was with them. Tell me, were there 10 virgins that were 5 and 5? You say, yes. All of them were virgins, but 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And for this reason, when we see those going in the way, worshiping God, acknowledging him, bringing him gifts, we say, certainly there could be no evil in this one. That is why I brought to your attention Genesis chapter 4. Because here is one who has lived, and God tells us of nothing prior to this, that would ever make us think that Satan had control of his life. Until the time of worshiping God came, and what he offered to God, God refused. I will go over this again with you. It is not because Abel offered a blood sacrifice and Cain offered the fruits of the ground. Because of the feasts, you will find that 2 of them have to do with offering the fruits of the ground. You'll find that there is the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits, the fruit of the ground. You will find also on the day of Pentecost, they have to offer first fruits. And I told you before, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but now is Christ risen from the dead, the first fruits of them that slept. And if you're going to use symbolism and say that lamb is a picture of Christ who died, well, do you not understand that the first fruits is a picture of not only the lamb that died, but was raised from the dead? You say, well, it could not be if we're going to use symbolism. It could not be because he refused the blood. No. But with the little that God tells us, it says that Cain brought an offering to the Lord. That's all it says. He just brought an offering to the Lord. And God looked over that offering. What you give to him, he looks over it. While he was standing by the treasury, our Savior was watching the rich put in an abundance of money. And he saw the widow cast in 2 mites. And he said, this woman had cast in more than they all. You see that God looks upon the heart. Not the amount, but the heart. This woman gave everything she had. The others gave the abundance. In like manner, would you not think that when Barnabas brought an offering to the Lord, that Ananias and Sapphira, when they brought their offering to the Lord, one was as good as the other, but one was satanically motivated. Why is it that Satan has done this to you? So notice, that even among children of God, Satan can come in and bring forth the hypocrisy that is in them. But at the same time, there are some that are not even hypocrites. They are false brethren, not hypocritical brethren. There are some who are not Christians, not carnal Christians. And in the case of Cain, it was not one who was a child of God that was imperfect in his ways, but it was one who was satanically inspired. He knew nothing about God, and yet he wants to worship God. And the difference is this. And this is why I wonder about people. It says, if any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know. And when a man like Apollos came along, even though he knew the way of God imperfectly, he wanted to do the will of God. So he would listen to Ananias, he would listen to Aquila and Priscilla as they taught him the way of God more perfectly. But if you have one who does not want to know the will of God, and he seeks to worship God as it suits him, then if you come, and if the one who comes to correct him is God himself, he will not listen to him. So what are you and I doing trying to tell others about worshiping God in a more perfect way? Unless God has worked upon the heart, it's like casting pearls before swine, giving that which is holy to the dogs. And for that reason, here is God himself. But I want you to see this. I want you to see the goodness of God. As I told you this morning, God going toward men in need. And he went toward Cain, who was in need, and he told him, what you have done is not right. Now, this is what must be done. In brief, Cain gave God something. But God said, whenever anyone brings something to me, he tells us this later on, it must be first, it must be perfect, and it must be the best. God says, you're not just going to come and give something to me. As concerning Abel, he brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Do you see the excellence? First, excellent, the best, perfect. And God accepted it. And Cain comes and he says, here is something for you. And God looks at what he gave, as he looked at what that widow woman gave and what the rich gave, and he evaluates. And God said, you have not given it in the right spirit, and what you have brought is not worthy of the God to whom you have brought it. But God is good. It speaks about God's forbearance, his long-suffering, his goodness. And so God speaks to this man, Cain, and he seeks to change his heart. But this is what is terrifying, that Satan has him under such control that he has no intention of ever changing his will, bringing God what God says I must have. He said, you will take what I brought to you, or you will get nothing else from me. That is the end of the matter. Think of that satanic heart that would deal with a God who spoke to him. In the first place, he would not change. And in the second place, after he had murdered his brother, God said to him, notice the searching words of God. He said to Adam, Adam, where art thou? And Adam was hiding. And he said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? And instead of fearing as our parents did, he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? Here is a man that's completely under the domination of Satan. And you see how quickly sin manifests itself. And so here is one who is prepared to irreverently address the Creator. And here is one who tells him, you take what I give you, or you will get nothing else. And God tells him the dire consequences if he will not change. He says, why are you wroth, and why is your countenance fallen? Now we begin to understand, because Satan is motivating him. Why is his countenance fallen? Why is he filled with wrath? Because of envy and jealousy that God accepted his brother Abel and his sacrifice, but refused him. Any heart that is not controlled by Satan, when God tells him the right way, he does not rail against God. He does not refuse to change, but he humbly confesses his error, as Paul does. He said, I verily thought it the right thing to do to destroy the Christian church. He said, I thought I did. He said, but I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And then he goes and he enumerates all the things that were gains to him, what he had been doing, seeking to attain eternal life. And he said, all those things that were gains to me, he said, I've counted them but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And God says to Cain, now you change. Never is there going to be a change. This is my way of approaching you, and it's the only way you shall ever draw forth from my heart. And so that is why I am terrified when I think of the presence of sin, even in children when they are born, because it is there, latently, and the potential to do such evil, we would never dream it possible. And so often, I've heard in court cases by this one that I knew, he could never do a thing like that. No, Cain could never do a thing like that. Ananias and Sapphira could never do a thing like that. Why, David, the man after God's heart, he could never do a thing like that. But David could. And the Christians could never do these abominable things that the world does. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5 that there is fornication among you, such as is not even seen among the Gentiles. So I put nothing past the child of God. Do you know Jesus? I've never heard of Jesus of Nazareth, the one who shed his precious blood on the cross, and a man, because he is afraid, could say, I do not know what you are talking about, can curse and to take an oath that he doesn't know anything about this Jesus of Nazareth. And so Peter, who said, I will go to jail, I will die with you, he found out just as Paul did. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. And now he discovers about Cain. And so of the two children, one was good, yes, Abel was good, but Cain was evil. And there are two things working in Cain. His own evil nature, and that evil nature upon which Satan could now get a hold. Understand the subtlety of the serpent. We did not know that that serpent was Satan until we are told in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it speaks about, and in 2 Corinthians 11, it speaks about the serpent beguiling Eve, and it speaks about Satan overcoming. Then we understand. But nothing is told us about Cain. There is no manifest presence of Satan. It is like Judas. You realize that before the feast, it said Satan had put into Judas' heart to betray the Lord. And then it says Satan entered his heart. And he went out, and it was night. But not one of the disciples was aware that Satan entered into the heart of Judas. They thought that the Savior was saying to him, go and buy something necessary for the feast. Understand, Satan is there, and not even the apostles can detect the presence of Satan, not in Judas, and Peter could not detect the weakness and failure in his own heart. But the Savior knew, and thank God for that. I told you that for us who belong to the Lord Jesus, he prays for us that our faith fail not. And it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so I rejoice that even though I know that in me that is in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing, that by God's grace, if you show me from the scripture, this is right, what you are doing is wrong, then I intend to correct, to do things that you told me. But I find that this is not true in the hearts of worldlings and in the hearts of God's children. And that is what is so upsetting, that you see those and they would defy you if you tried to tell them a way other than the blood of Christ for salvation. But when it comes to service and living for God, why, they think that then they can choose any way they want to serve God, to worship God, each in his own way as it enters his mind. It's not that way at all. God has told us all of these things. So understand that there is a way of salvation, and there is also a way of worship. And God is not going to change. He said, it's not necessary for you to be filled with wrath, for your countenance to be fallen. If you do well, it shall be lifted up. But if not, sin crouches at the door. So here is one, and just as I have told you that the goodness of God, the forbearance of God, the long-suffering of God, God goes out to man and he seeks to rescue him from the power of Satan. God goes out to man and he says to him, even though you have done this, even though Satan has influenced you to this degree, he said, it is not necessary to remain that way. He said, if you do well, then your countenance shall be lifted up, and this sin that is ready to destroy you, you may rule over it. But if, when God gives you that advice, you say, get thee hence, God, then, as I told you about the Lord Jesus this morning, they said, get out of our city, get out of our territory. The sad thing is that Jesus does get out. But then, there are not only eternal consequences involved, but as far as man is concerned, there is a lifetime of consequences involved. You will not have God's way, then God says, this is the way it is going to be. You will be a fugitive, a vagabond, a wanderer in the earth. The earth shall not give unto you its produce. He told him all of these things that would come upon him. So by God's grace, we who are all evil by nature, we being evil, let us by God's grace, by his power, overcome this evil and be categorized among those that are good children. Time gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that in spite of knowing what we are, still you say, David is a man after my heart. You have said Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. So, in humility and in fear, our God, we acknowledge what is in us. We confess with Paul that we are sold under sin, that sin dwelleth in us, that in our flesh there dwelleth no good thing. And yet, thou hast told us, it is God that worketh in you both the will and the work for his good pleasure. We are thankful, our Father, that you are at work in us. So work in us, and let us bring forth fruit to the glory of God. Let us be good children, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.